Welcome to the Agency in Focus SOCOM, sponsored by Leidos. Now, here's your host, Tom Temin.
You know the names of big established defense contractors, but what about small businesses? Some of them have specialties the military is also looking for. Special Operations Command often tries out new innovative equipment. To find out how SOCOM interacts with small companies, Federal News Radio Scott Massioni spoke with retired Air Force General Hawk Carlisle, president and CEO of the National Defense Industrial Association.
So I will tell you that I think that's one of the great, again, great values. It's one of the strategic priorities of NDIA. It's fostering small business and the innovation that small business brings to the forefront, because a lot of the innovation in this country often start with small business, and they do have a kind of a ability to innovate, just because of their size and lack of complexity. They're small, they can get a lot done. So there's a ton of that, and many of the exhibit hall and getting, obviously the big and mid companies are there, but there's a lot of small companies. I'll throw one out. There's one called PEMDAS that has to do with equipping our RPAs with the ability to know the environment around them better, the weather and what's going on. And SOCOM's probably going to be the first ones to put that on their RPAs, remotely piloted aircraft. So they'll be there and they participate. And I think that whole bringing those two together was a case where SOFIC, this company, PEMDAS, came out with this great capability and technology. It's an easy adaptation, and SOCOM went, yeah, we need that now. And my guess is it will backfill into the larger enterprise that is both the Army and the Air Force RPA fleets over time. But that's a case where you're right. SOCOM, and you got to give a lot of credit to the former J-8 down at SOCOM, was a really good friend of mine named Mr. Hondo Gertz, who's now the acquisition official for the United States Navy. But they have MFP 11, so they have their own money, and they're able to work things much quicker. And a lot of it is need, because, our special operators are all over the world continuously and engaged continuously. So the ability to do things fast is really important. And what Hondo set up and what is ongoing down in with SOCOM is that, given their budget authority and their need to produce capability rapidly, and just being one command, they can turn things pretty quickly. The bureaucracy is a lot less, so they're able to field capability very quickly. And then invariably, what good happens is, and again, the case of updating the MQ-9, for example, AFSOC, the Air Force Component of Special Operations, was updating their software, their capabilities on their MQ-9s much faster than the rest of the Air Force. When I was at ACC, we came together to find a way to Air Force, big Air Force, to piggyback off the efforts that AFSOC was doing, and now those upgrades are coming to the rest of the Air Force much quicker because of the work that we are able to do with AFSOC and SOCOM. So there is a mentality and an understanding in SOCOM that allows things to happen very quickly, and the entire force benefits from that capability.
Could you tell us a little bit about why Special Operations Command is a breeding ground for innovation compared to the military as a whole?
Well, I wouldn't say that the military as a whole isn't a breeding ground for innovation, too. I think they are. And if you look at what the defense industry and the Department of Defense and Department of Homeland Security and all the departments, there's innovation, and certainly a lot of the things that have occurred in the industry have spun off of military applications and been, innovative and forward-thinking and new technologies. SOCOM is very quick at doing that, and it has to do with they can shorten the timeline to get from a product being demonstrated to them to get it into the field. Size is one thing. I mean, there's an economy of scale, and there's also an economy of speed with size. So if you're trying to, you have a fairly small, very elite, very highly trained folks inside of the Special Operations Command, you don't have, you get brand new recruits going into Special Operations Command. These are seasoned warfighters that come into that command after, having done an extensive amount of training. So It's a little bit of a different group of folks. It's not the brand new guys that are coming in and just learning the positions and the jobs. And that combined with, so you can get them equipment quicker, and they're in a experience and maturity mode that they can adapt and use it quicker because they have the experience of being, being warfighters for a period of time before they show up at Special Operations Command. And then you have the, the SOCOM as a combatant command has its own MFP-11. It's got its own ability to budget for things, and they put a high premium on innovation, turning capability out to the warfighter quickly, and they're able to do it because, again, they're a smaller, they're a subset of the bigger military, so they can do things in a quicker, tighter loop from demonstration of capability to actually feeling it.
We'll take a short break. You're listening to an interview with retired Air Force General Hawk Carlisle, President and CEO of the National Defense Industrial Association. I'm Tom Temin.
Leidos is proud to support U.S. SOCOM and its mission to protect America's interests around the world. SOCOM's can't-fail missions can't afford anything less than the latest cutting-edge technology. That's why at Leidos, we develop adaptive and agile solutions, utilizing open systems architecture that rapidly integrates new innovations, ensuring special operations forces have the decisive advantage on the battlefield. At Leidos, we're helping SOCOM achieve mission success today and transform mission readiness for tomorrow. To learn more, visit leidos.com.
Every year, the National Defense Industrial Association hosts the Special Operations Forces Industry Conference, or SOFIC. It's an opportunity for educational sessions, demonstrations, and many networking opportunities with Special Operations Forces. With this year's coming up next month, Federal News Radio Scott Mossioni asked retired Air Force General Hawk Carlisle, President and CEO of NDIA, why the event is significant for maintaining SOCOM's relationship with industry.
The real purpose of the conference is we do have an opportunity. There are forums that you can get to a level of discussion that both industry and the special operators need to be part of as they develop capabilities and systems and products to meet the needs of the warfighter, the SOCOM warfighters. So the real value of SOFIC is that we get all this. We do it together. It's kind of co-SOFIC or SOCOM and NDIA, and we really get the opportunity to create that two-way conversation. So the industry gets to hear what's on the mind of the special operators and the leadership and the acquirers for them. What are their challenges? What are their gaps and capabilities that they need to look at? In a variety of different forms, in an innovation forum, SOCOM gets to see what industry is coming up with, some of their new capabilities. So it really is the great value is the exchange of information at a level that you don't get anywhere else because you have so many special operators there. It's in their backyard, from the leadership all the way down to the folks that are actually out doing the job every day in the field. And you get industry there that covers the spectrum from, the highest, the C-suite kind of folks to the folks, actually the engineers and the product designers that are doing the work. So it really is a great opportunity for free flow of information. Clearly, there's things that stay in a for official use only type environment, and there's cases where the classification of things restricts some of that discussion. But when you have this kind of environment, you're really talking about an open flow of ideas and what the special operators are thinking about and what industry is able to bring to the table.
Now, this is your first year as president and CEO of the National Defense Industrial Association, but I'm sure it's not your first SOLIC conference. So I was wondering if you could kind of give us a feel for what the conference is like, and it's going to be down in sunny Tampa, as I know.
Yeah, it's so this is my first year, but I have been to SOFIC conferences before, and so this will be a repeat for me. I've gone back as representing the Air Force and some of the systems that we're looking at. So I was there as kind of one of the customers of industry, and now I get to go down and help industry meet the needs and demands and requirements of SOCOM and the services. So it is. It's a great opportunity for me to be a little bit on the other side of the equation. It is a just an amazing event because it encompasses so much. We have the convention center is filled to the brim. We actually run out of space. The level of discussion reaches an incredible level of detail. You get, you get industry folks, you get program executive officers, you get the engineers, both on the military side and on the industry side. You get decision makers that are looking at where the very valuable taxpayer dollars are going to be invested to meet the needs of the special operators. So the environment is electric. It's really fantastic. I think it's one of the reasons that it's so important to SOCOM and so important to our membership at NDIA.
Now, we were talking about how SOCOM uses a lot of small business. What makes small business sort of a innovation incubator and helps them kind of grow within Special Operations Command as well?
Well, I think the small business and fostering small business, much of the innovation in our country comes from small business, and I think it has to do with they're hungry, they're innovative, they're entrepreneurs, they have an attitude that they got to come up with the next great thing to build their business. They have a shortened decision cycle because it's usually only a few people, and generally, it's a fairly small crowd. It's not in many cases it's not a earnings per share or stockholder discussion. In most cases, they don't have to worry about trying something, failing, and not being successful till the third or fourth try. In most cases, it's their own resources that are going into that, and they don't have to answer to a board of directors or necessarily. In many cases, they don't have to answer to stockholders. They can, they're a little bit more willing to accept risk. And it's the risk of their own resources in many cases.
And what's the business environment for small businesses when they're trying to get into working with DOD? And how does NDIA facilitate that?
We are very much in the heart of trying to foster small business work with the DOD and try to speed the acquisition process. Those are two of our strategic objectives. This is not meant to be a pejorative statement, but the government and DOD in particular is not always a great customer. It can be a challenge, and it's nothing nefarious. It's just the nature of bureaucracy, and it's the nature of oversight. It's the nature of Congress, and realize that the Department of Defense, as a customer, unlike the commercial enterprise, the Department of Defense kind of holds all the cards, right? They set the requirements, they set the objectives and thresholds. They're the oversight. They're the regulators. Sometimes it's difficult for small business to compete in that environment because, for example, just one great example is while small business competing for a contract, it may take time because, again, the bureaucracy of Department of Defense doesn't always operate quickly. It may require some oversight from Congress to, for example, move funds if you're doing above-threshold reprogramming in Congress, so that takes time. And the whole time, big business, the Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, Boeing, they can, they have the wherewithal to weather that time without a problem. Small business, that's income for them. That's the resources that they've invested into this. If they don't get a return on that investment for an extended period of time, it's hard for them to continue to be part of the, to continue in that endeavor to try to get those contracts with DOD. So we at NDIA foster small business. Again, it's one of our strategic objectives is to help them. Just an example is there was a thing called expedited payments to small business. We are very much proponents of that. It was due to run out. We're working with Congress and OMB to keep that expedited payment to small business because they really need it for their lifeblood to keep doing things. So it is daunting. We offer courses here at NDIA where we help small business and how Washington works and how to get into the contracting business with DOD. We do everything to facilitate. We network together. We bring groups together that are of a functional note where small businesses can team together to fill a government contract, so we allow that cross flow of information. We also have senior executive series where we bring in executives from the Department of Defense or the individual services to talk about their priorities. Let small business are invited to those so they can hear what DoD is looking for so they can go out and try to get that capability for them and be part of the solution. So NDIA is great for we work really hard to help small business and to bring the right folks together to kind of even the playing field so they can be part of the solution and part of the innovation for the next generation and capability for DoD. The demand signal on the United States military today is as great as it's ever been. We know the world that we live in is as challenging, and you know, in my lifetime, I'd say the threat environment is as complex and challenging as we've ever seen, all the way from, you know, response to humanitarian assistance, disaster response in the case of a natural disaster, all the way up to great power competition with folks like the PRC and Russia, and ability to operate across that entire spectrum for the United States military. Special operations has that same challenge. There's cases where they'll have to be doing stability and helps in nations. There's still the counterterrorism, counterproliferation, which is a big mission that that SOCOM just got handed, the counterproliferation mission, which they're very actively engaged in how they deal with that. The work against violent extremism, where we're deployed throughout the world to oppose that violent extremism. And then, of course, you know, special operators and that whole command are a huge part of all of the plans that the United States military has across the entire range, to include, you know, great power competition and major combat operations. You know, I like to say that people talk about stealth. We have a tendency to talk about airplanes, which is certainly a big component of it, but you know, special ops teams can be pretty stealthy. Submarines can be pretty stealthy. There's other stealth, you know, low observable, hard to detect capability, and SOF is one of them. And so, you know, how we operate with the special operators across the entire spectrum of what would be military operations is something that they're very, very much thinking about. You know, if you talk to General Thomas and where they've been and what we've had, what they've been doing for the last 18 to 20 years, actually 30 years, if you go back to 1991 and 1990 in Kuwait and Iraq, they, you know, that they're requirements for what they're able to do has increased drastically, and nothing that they've done before is off the plate. So, how do you get the most capacity out of the special operators that you can, and how do you cover the entire spectrum of what they may be asked to do, is really the hot topics for the special operations community and General Thomas and what he's doing as it goes forward.
Retired Air Force General Hawk Carlisle is president and CEO of the National Defense Industrial Association, speaking with Federal News Radio Scott Mossioni. Hear the rest of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Leidos is proud to support U.S. SOCOM and its mission to protect America's interests around the world. SOCOM's can't-fail missions can't afford anything less than the latest cutting-edge technology. That's why at Leidos, we develop adaptive and agile solutions, utilizing open systems architecture that rapidly integrates new innovations, ensuring special operations forces have the decisive advantage on the battlefield. At Leidos, we're helping SOCOM achieve mission success today and transform mission readiness for tomorrow. To learn more, visit leidos.com.
Welcome back to an interview with retired Air Force General Hawk Carlisle, president and CEO of the National Defense Industrial Association. He spoke with Federal News Radio Scott Mossioni.
Secretary Mattis came out with his defense posture review just about a month ago, and that really looked into the near-peer competitors, the superpower-type fighting. You know, how does that change the mission of Special Operations Command and the way they operate and buy?
So that, you know, it's a great point. The National Defense Strategy, I've read it. It's a fantastic document. I think the Department of Defense and Secretary Mattis did a great job, and it is. I mean, we are moving. We still have all the requirements. We're still fighting violent extremism. We're still, you know, in coalitions and partnerships and friendships and allies across the world that we have to continue to nurture and grow. But at the same time, we know that we're in a period in history of great power competition. So, you know, one of the axioms in and I think they call it the fifth truth of special operations, and that is they'll always need conventional capability and support a special operation mission. I think if you look at where we're headed with respect to the National Defense Strategy and what the future holds, the interaction, the capability to work, the joint fight across every service, across every domain, with every capability is going to really be how we continue to be the most dominant military power in the world. So for special operations, I think they've worked incredibly closely with the other services and the conventional force over the last 18 years, certainly in the Middle East, but that was a different threat environment. So now we're going to take it to a great power competition. The threat has increased drastically. The reliance of the conventional force on what special operations is able to do and the reliance of special operations on what conventional force does in support of them, that is going to become so much tighter, so much more of a requirement that it really is, whether it's C2 systems, whether it's weapon systems, whether it's ISR systems, whether it's understanding the environment and who's accomplishing what, and how all of that is integrated together is really, that's what the National Defense Strategy needs our military to be able to do, and that's what all the services and Special Operations Command are working very hard. How do you integrate closer? How do you get more understanding? How do you do more in support of one another and become a more integrated a joint force as you operate in an increasingly challenging threat environment?
And with that review, how have you seen companies change their posturing when it comes to business? You know, are they looking at bigger weapon systems, or are they looking at smaller, faster contracts?
I think both. I think, and I don't know if I'd say bigger, I'd say more advanced. I think technology and innovation is a big part of that. And I'd say that is a case. Industry has looked at that for not just the system, so we want to get technology, we want a spiral capability in, but we want to get it out to the field quickly so that we stay ahead of our adversaries. And we know that, you know, the famous Boyd Zuta loop of observe, orient, decide, act is the key to success is stay inside your adversaries' loop, so you're seeing things quicker, making decisions quicker, and bringing effects to the battle space quicker than your adversary. And so I think what you'll see is that industry is looking at that integration, that ability to work through multi-domains. You know, the Army is at the global symposium down at Huntsville, and they're talking about multi-domain battle. The U.S. Air Force is talking about multi-domain command and control. The Navy and the Marines are in the same boat with how they operate in an integrated fashion across a joint force. So industry, I think, is really, you know, instead of stovepipes of excellence in each domain, it's really got to be integrated across all domains, and the open systems architecture and the ability to pass information, receive information across every service and across every domain. Industry is really working hard to make that a reality and doing more and more to allow that integration to occur across the joint force.
That's retired Air Force General Hawk Carlisle, President and CEO of the National Defense Industrial Association, speaking with Federal News Radio Scott Mossioni. Hear the entire interview at federalnewsradio.com and search Agency in Focus. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Agency in Focus, SOCOM, sponsored by Leidos on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. The entire program can be found on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search Agency in Focus.